kuwa isikhathi enkonzo kubizwa kusekho before we remember Tena Enoch and Kugel Golda. They are seated there, they are going to, they are representing the Auditor General's office and are going to kill us too. What will happen, and I propose, is that we listen to their slide presentation, go through, and thereafter we will be able to ask questions. And then when we are done, we have finished the first meeting, and then be ready for the next meeting where we are going to deal with the animal court, which is our business. But I also want to emphasize that we are happy to receive this presentation prior to us engaging with the annual report, so that we are already knowing how the department is performing, and therefore we will ask them, not the office of the Auditor General, we will ask the department what strategies they are will be putting in place in order to address issues if they are in, but move forward to the report. Can I then take the opportunity and welcome to you today? You can start now. We are going to interact with that report. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Jane, Honorable Members. It's a pleasure to present the outcomes of the Auditor General on social development. I'm Kenneth Edelt, I'm responsible for audit for social development. And to my left, I'm Mr. Ivan Gallagher, he is responsible for auditing social assistance grants in the environment.
The
purpose of this slide is for the Auditor General to fulfill our promise statement when we actually support democracy within South Africa. And that's through our auditing process. So we're not responsible for the department itself, but the other side responsibility is auditors. And that's to highlight items for the portfolio committee to keep the department accountable and ensure that proper governance is in place. If we go to the purpose of our presentation, what we'd like to do is to highlight items in our audit report as part of the annual report that we feel that the committee must take note of for your interaction with the department, as well as also to take note of what we identified as part of the review process of the budget and taking it forward. So that will be our utmost purpose in this presentation. If I could then move to the audit of the detail of the contents of the specific presentation, what we would like to do is to highlight on an overall level the audit outcomes of the department. We will identify the six key risk areas of that we as Auditor General have identified for all audit teams. We will have a discussion on the unauthorized irregular filters and waste expenditure. We will discuss on a very high level the key drivers of internal control. We will discuss two reports and recommendations, as well as discuss the combined assurance model from an audit perspective and how it's affecting our work. We will also highlight the commitments that we've received from our Honourable Minister to address the issues within the department. Now, if I could move to slide 1 on page 5. The portfolio maintained audit outcomes. If we look at the specific slide, it's identifiable that 12-13, there was 5 audits that we would say unqualified with no fines, that's 16 audits. And we have 2 audits from 12-13 till date that is unqualified with fines. We've included the names here. The department and the relief funds are clean, unqualified with no findings. And then we have SASA and the NBA that have findings as a specific determination. Now I want to highlight, you will find the audit reports in these acts of the department, the annual report. The department's audit report is on page 191. Then we have in the same document the small relief funds. Included on page 271, the first audit report for disaster relief, for refugee and relief wrap in 281, social relief on 290, and the state residents on 299. In SASA specific audit report, in the annual report on page 76, and the NDA secret annual report on page 64. That's our reports. And we move this slide to... I can indicate the risk areas of the risk in general. The first area is the quality of the submitted financial statements. We receive as an audit in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, the financial statements on the 31st of May. Now what we identify is that there is one auditing SASA that we have received financial statements that we through the auditing process have corrected it materially. And that related to these disclosures. It is with regard to that 13 in the accounting terms, where they have to go back and look at the straight lining of the leases over the periods of utilizing that specific leases. So it was only one item or one entity within this portfolio that the financial statements was resubmitted. Then with regard to the second circle, we have a circle with regard to performance reporting. That's not indicating your targets and how they achieve this. We have only three entities within this portfolio that report or predetermined objectives. And the reason for that is that the relief funds do not fall under the ambit of the Public Finance Management Act, and the Fundraising Act don't require them to report on predetermined objectives. So there's only three entities. The department has submitted performance reports that was materially correct, but SASA and NDA we materially adjusted for Program 1 in both of these entities. I'll let you discuss it. Then we regard the compliance of legislation. The department in the four funds didn't have, in terms of our understanding, significant findings on compliance. There were significant findings on compliance of rules and regulations, and SASA and NDA. I will discuss this in a slide later on. Financial health. We didn't identify any issues on a financial health aspect within this portfolio. There were services to pay, and SASA services within the NDA services. But we have the four funds that we have the emphasis of matter paragraph on the going concern. But it's not a financial aspect. It's with regard to the fact that they are under the investigation to evaluate what's the purpose of these funds. They are dormant at the moment. Then with regard to human management, the only entity that we have a concern with is with regard to SASA. And it's on two levels. The first level, the original approved SASA structure, is for the whole value chain of social grants. Mm-hmm. That is from where the person applied for grants to the basis where it's actually paid into their bank account. That is the original structure of SASA. Now what happened, SASA was not in a position to do the payment side of it. So we contracted in a contractor, CPS, to perform that side of the value chain. Now that resulted in some of the vacancies, and you will also see in the annual report under HR management that I've explained it in detail under on page 58 as well as 62 that explained the variance. The other aspect on the other level within SASA is these key positions vacant in SASA. I think it's of a critical nature that these positions must be filled. One, for example, there's a regional manager in Auckland, if I could recall, the Free State. The chief of internal audit is still vacant, the position. And at year end, the CFO position was also still vacant. That's critical positions for me, looking at financial management and performance of SASA. So there must be action plans for those specific areas. With regard to information technology, there is concerning items, but it is under control. It's within the department and SASA. That is the six risk areas that we have identified. Then we break it down on page 7, slide 2.1. if identified the financial statements, you will see that the portfolio actually improved. During the 13-14 year, there were two entities that financial statements was completely adjusted to, through the auditing process. That was SASSA and DMDA, and this year was only SASSA. But still, excellent SASSA could also achieve unadjusted financial statements during this process. Then if we move to slide 2.2, quality of submitted annual performance reports. As identified in the slides, we have no issue with regard to the performance reports that are presented to the portfolio committee or to Parliament. That's taking into account that we do note that the targets as in the budget are reflected in this annual report, and that the actual achievement for the programs that we identified, we actually audit that achievement to make sure it's adequately represented. In the submitted reports, on page 9, we have a sort of a regression in this area. In 2013-14, the performance reports were not materially adjusted of any entity in our portfolio. This year it was materially adjusted for SASSA and NDA on both programs, one or both entities. That's a bit of an issue of concern for us. We have raised it with management also through our management reports. Then if I could move to slide 2.4, that is compliance with breaking down compliance with legislation. Now in terms of our public directive, we have certain legislation that we evaluate from a financial perspective, so it's not all legislation. And what we highlight the key critical issues, we have discussed financial statements, the third circle. Then we have identified prevention of unauthorized behavior and recruiters and waste school. We identify that that's still a sort of a concern for us in SASSA. Through the auditing process, we still identify irregular expenditure that is being disclosed. And we also have the issue with regard to the consequence management, the follow-up of irregular and fruitful supplies of its nature. Then the last top circle is with regard to management of procurement and contract management, supply chain management. We have a paragraph in our audit report of significant non-compliance with regard to the NDA. That's on the territorial point system that was not applied on a specific contract, as well as we could not get confirming evidence that the criteria as acted by for certain goods and contracts was applied. So that was within the NDA environment, very specific. Then with regard to SASSA, to the concern, you will see we didn't report in that in the audit report, so it wasn't so significant, but we have to highlight it. There are still issues with regard to compliance to the supply chain issues in SASSA. Then with regard to management of strategic planning and performance, we didn't identify any items there. Human resource and consequence management, I've discussed the regular follow-up of SASSA, but I've also highlighted the moving structure of SASSA and that we must actually give them support too if they don't pay the grants themselves in future. Our structure must move to support it externally. And then another critical item is the vacancies in SASSA that must be filled of key management. Internal audit, it would be called to the internal audit division in SASSA. I've already indicated that the head of the internal division is vacant the position, and I'm also of the feeling it is not pre-sourced the section of internal audit division in SASSA. And that is as a result of that, they can't perform all the requirements of the public finance management act. That must actually support the accounting officer, the CEO, in reviewing the financial statements before it's actually submitted to us. They must support management in that area. So it's the financial review of financial statements that was a concern for us. Then with regard to the audit committee of SASSA, this was at year-end actually addressed, but for the period of the reporting, there was vacancies in the audit committee for two or three months. But the minister and the CEO have appointed relevant staff in this with the therapy of skills and finance. So that's one loss of theirs. Then if I could move to the next slide, it's unauthorized irregular, to the survival expenditure. Now, if you compare this to the financial status, you will see we only highlight the current year in these slides. Now, the irregular is in detail explained in the financial statements. If you go to the financial statements of the department, you will find it on page 251, note 25.2. For SASA, it will be on page 109, note 51. And the NK, the irregular, will be on page 103, note 26.3. For all the entities, the actual irregular expenditure decreases. That's why our ARIS is actually green, so it decreases area. But then there's still the issue that we as auditors have to identify some irregular expenditure. So there is still problems within the environment, the control environment, that must be viewed in the department. In SASA, it will be the region center. It's not all that head office. Then for this invasive expenditure, the department is in place. Page 253, no 26.3. That's a smaller amount. SASA is 5 million. It's on page 108, no 30. And the NGO is 22,000 on page 104, no 26.4. The unauthorized expenditure in the accounts of the department relates back to all unauthorized expenditure. The department has made submissions to the scope of committee. Correctly find that, so it is in progress. They are just awaiting the final outcome also from that specific item. It's a 26 million land that's on the statement of position of the report. But that's an old unauthorized expenditure. Then, if we move to slide 4 on page 12, that is a summary of the key controls within our portfolio. Now, if one looks at the department, it is evaluated on all levels as good, except for a small issue with regard to IT controls. We have to look at the disaster recovery plan, as well as some user management accounts, so it's very limited to a specific area. Our main concern is with SASA, and you must remember that SASA is actually supporting the departments on the grounds. The grants is reflected on the financial statements of the department. So it's very important that we have good controls within SASA. Now we have identified that we have oversight problems with regard to SASA, and that relates to supply chain management. We have also human resources issues that relates to the vacancies in SASA, the key positions that need to be filled. Then if one looks at the financial and performance management, for the specific year, we have identified that there were major issues with regard to documentation of supply chain processes, and that resulted in that intervention required, and it's also reported as a non-compliance under expenditure management in our audit report. Then we have the normal issues as I've reported in the previous year, and we still have one file a year on grants that we didn't receive the critical documentation, as well as documentation issues and control of the grant debtors. You will see our grant debtors in the department is plus minus 1 billion. So it's a massive amount of controls must be in place around managing grant debtors. Then the reporting side, that also relates to the predetermined reports that have to be resubmitted and re-audited by us. Then they have IT control issues, and that's with regard to user management controls. In risk management in SASA, they started the process, but it must be still rolled out to the lowest level within SASA. Internal audit, I've touched on that. That is the vacancy in the general manager of internal audit, as well as the capacity, and also maybe extending the scope of internal audit. There actually is full management on the review of the financial statements. The audit committee was issued with regard to the capacity of the appointment of members on the audit committee with the necessary skills on the financial side. That was subsequently addressed by the minister. Then the NDA's oversight responsibility with regard to the this review and monitoring with regard to the compliance of the supply chain is the items that can raise as key controls within this portfolio. The fund is dormant, there's not a lot of activities in the fund. That's why we didn't do a good evaluation of key controls. That's in a very high-level evaluation by us on the control department. If I could then move to slide 5. We have a lack of consequence of poor performance implementations. That relates to appropriate consequence management that must be implemented. This relates to SASA on consequence management, the irregular expenditure and disposal. So we must make sure, or we highlight this to the committee, to actually see that SASA has a plan to address all irregular expenditure. There must be investigations and those groups must be kept to that specific irregular expenditure. Then, unfortunately for the portfolio, it's the first time that this specific recalls emerge in this entity of this portfolio, so the response by management in addressing the root causes that relates to the NDA's performance information that was restated. And that's actually a regression because we were keen in the previous year and now just on the NDA. That is our root causes and recommendations. And just to highlight why we did the assessment of our assurance providers, it's from all the perspective. We see the first level of assurance providers, the senior management of the entity itself. Then the next level, on the first level of assurance, is the accounting authority, that's the Wharton NGA, as well as your CEO and SASA, and the DC of the department, and then our minister, honorable minister. I must ensure that the appropriate action plans are taken, especially senior management, especially in South Africa, we have footprint all over South Africa. We must make sure that we comply with the controls. Our accounting authorities and officers and CEOs must hold the officials accountable, and then the minister must monitor the performance or the action plans and the achievement of these specific actions as indicated by them. Then the oversight responsibility, it's not the portfolio committee, but we have oversight departments. For instance, National Treasury and DPSA, they have certain responsibilities against this portfolio, where they must make sure that the department is compliant. And then we have our internal audit divisions in these entities, as well as our audit committees that must support this portfolio. Then we have the third level of assurance. We have, for example, our audit, our portfolio committees, they must review and monitor the action plans of these specific entities. And then we have scope and the national assembly. That's our combined assurance. Now if I move to slide 2.1 or 6.1 on page 15, we have one entity where we have some concerns with regard to senior management, and that's because the footprint is all over South Africa and in SASA. And it's very critical to our department that that isn't changed. It relates to grant letters, we have a few items, it relates to supply chain management. So that's still the issue for us on this issue. And then the accounting authority. Then we have raised some assurance for the India board. The board is not in place at the moment. I think it could result in problems in the new year if the board is not appointed, because there are certain responsibilities in terms of the public finance management that they must comply with. Then we have had interactions with our honourable minister, and there is action plan, she's following it up. Then we got the internal audit. That relates to the SASA internal audit specifically, as well as the audit committee that was subsequently addressed and stopped being appointed. Then on slide 7, our minister's commitments to this portfolio. We have a few commitments that are currently in progress. That was as was done last year. That's to evaluate the environment of the relief funds, as a small social relief funds, for the closure or automation of the NDA or SASA, or maybe create one new fund. That is now in progress. Then the next commitment was monitored and implement action plans to ensure that these entities, and we specifically talk about SASA and the NDA, move to a fee auditor. Now that's the detail action plan, so that's involved in this, the audit issues. And then the last one was the filling of critical positions in SASA and NDA. Most of the NDA critical positions at year-end was filled as subsequent to the year-end commitment. And then we have received a new commitment. It's asking whether the department supported the minister to look at all the commitments and commitment to the previous year and see if there's additional items that we as the portfolio is committed. So that's the commitments that we've received from the minister. Honourable Chair, that is our presentation. And if the members have questions on the members, I think we will try to take some of these.
Thank you very much for your very clear thoughts, and we really appreciate what you have raised, and definitely some of your comments are not there, and we will try to do everything to you. But this time, I am going to open the floor for the questions, and I request members indeed to take into consideration the fact that Treasury is obviously informed us that they are not the department, nor are they working with the department. But what they do is to actually do oversight and then give us information about their own findings. So they must not respond on behalf of the department. They are to say a diagnostic report that I'm putting forward to you is as follows, as they have done a session by session in the report. So while I preside, I would indeed appreciate that members ask questions that relate to the goals and the findings and not what they will do. Because they are what would be done to be conducted by the department as much as instructed by the overhead code. They are to expose the sense of ill health and then intervention to that is for the department and is for the portfolio committee to instruct and demand outcomes as accounted to the portfolio committee by the department. One is made that please. So
the floor is open, one of the members. Sorry,
thank you, Chair. Can you hear me? It's not working. Thank you. More question of clarity, if you can just. Basically, what we're looking at is we've got unqualified audits and unqualifying with findings. We don't have qualified with findings or adverse with findings. I just need explanation. We are sitting with a situation of food and waste expenditure to the extent of 5 million rand. How that does not become how that becomes a qualified order just with an unqualified just with finding. That to me is seriously qualified with finding or adverse with finding. It really is a long. Thank you.
I will take a few minutes before I allow my question to the AG. The management point letters of the last year, where are they? Is there any progress in terms of the MPL of the department or not? Or maybe you might tell us how far was the AG advised the department in terms of the management point letter, because we cannot say they are the whole thing, but they are still coming back into the record. Like issues of wasteful expenditure, issues of SARS. You are having a quarterly meeting, I think, in terms of advising them. So maybe we need to be clear what is happening. And I know the issue of MLP, most people are really like to talk about it because that's the recommendation that they
turn you stole the dormant account. Although the suspicion had gone down to the department, because it came up each year. What recommendation did the Auditor General make to the department when it comes to that dormant account? Because I think that is a bit troublesome. If you have a account that's dormant, that's not in use, and it appears each year. Then when it comes to our irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, what I would like to know from the auditor, but we'll ask the same question from the department, more or less, but just changed a bit. Do the department have some kind of action plan to you when it comes to the irregular and fruitless? Because a person has to account for that money that is being used. So I think that is going to be important for the Auditor General to tell us how you feel there, and then we can question the department again. Then the concerns, this debt of 1 million is very big. And there's supposed to be, for that money, risk management, risk management program, not a program, but a policy in place. And how do you feel about the risk management policy in place looking better? Because that affects the bulk of the money of social development. So the debt is important there, and then the supply chain management is important there too. Just give us more concerns of yours that we can ask the department on it. And then another big concern, what is that to say to you when it comes to why is it the head of internal audit? Because they get the most of the money of the department. Thank you, that's all, Madam Chair.
I wish it would be the last one so that they can answer, and then the next time we get new hands. But it's not affecting you, Honorable Mabie. You are already inside, Honorable Mabie. You can put forward your question. After you, we will then allow the department to respond, and then other members may come in. Thank you.
Last two. I'm just saying thank you to the chair for the opportunity granted. Well, first and foremost, I want to congratulate the department on the unqualified report without any emphasis. That's our major victory because it contributes towards in audit. However, I share the concerns around startup in terms of the unqualified report with emphasis and all the other industry. My key concern from the AG's office will be the material adjustment of financial statements for the NEA and SASA. What do you attribute to, or what is your explanation to that effect? But my own understanding is that it will not be the first time that they are submitting financial statements which are supposed to be accurate, credible. And now, why should there be material adjustment? That's a concern for me. Secondly, it relates to the information technology. You are raising it as a key concern, which is the backbone of any administration and department. I will be interested in terms of what is SASA's explanation and entities around deficiencies or weaknesses in the information technology. I want to take further this question that was posed by the WIP of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Makar, around the dormant funds. The concern that I'm raising, or the question is, what is the indication for service delivery if the funds are dormant, there's little activity? What is the implication, and what is the explanation given for the delay in terms of the funds being inactive or dormant, and what does that translate into? And then in terms of the entities, lastly, that's the NDA board, that the AG's office is saying there's not been an appointment of the board. Obviously, it's going to have serious implications for governance, good governance. What is the timeline that SASA is giving, or what is the explanation why that entity doesn't, NDA doesn't have the board for governance? lastly, I commented to say, go through the ministers of movement to address the root causes. I think that is to be encouraging. We must just ensure that they are executed and implemented. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
I am also very happy that the members, I remember very well, that the questions they are asking are not only asking them today in response to this report. These questions have been raised as we continue to oversight the department. And now it confirms the concerns of the members, now that it has come true as a proof of audit. And also, we appreciate the color issues, where you actually say, if it's repeated, you come with your red there, we can see, and we are able, even if we were not reading the actual numbers, but the color itself, it tells us that it's repeated, or it's a static matter, that they are not moving backward, but they are just seated at that state of affairs. Can I request, Honorable Wilson, that we'll allow the department, I mean the DDF to respond, and then we'll take the second batch. Please, thank you very much. This opportunity is for the department. Thank you.
For us as Solicitor General, the reporting framework on fruitless and wasteful, as raised by the Honourable Member, is to make sure that in terms of all fruitless and wasteful identified within the entity, it is appropriately disclosed in the financial statement, so that the reader of the financial statement would actually identify this is fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and that the accounting authority, in this case NDA or CEO SAGA or the DG of the department, must be in a position to report on the specific items. I think that is the main focus in how the financial statements is regulated in the government environment. You'll have a similar disclosure environment for irregular expenditure. Irregular expenditure is where the service was delivered, but they didn't comply with the regulations. It's not to say it's in vain. We have received the service for it. But the main issue is with regard to fruitless and wasteful, we identify that we didn't receive a service. Now, the actions forward. In terms of the guidance, the entity, department or public entity, must now have an investigation on that specific line item. And through that investigation, they must identify if there is a person guilty and what is the actions forward. So I think that's very important as oversight to take note about that. Because they have declared in the financial statements. They have declared it correct in terms of the reporting guideline. So for me, it's an order that I make sure it's correct. I'm not sure you see the correct information, and then I would say the financial statements are fairly predicted and correct in terms of that guidelines. So that's why you have sometimes unqualified opinion, and there's fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The following could happen. It could happen that the auditor general or the external auditor identify irregular expenditure in an entity in terms of these guidelines, and there's disagreement. Now, if you specifically look at this notes in the financial statement of Safran India, you will see that it's called possible irregularities under investigation. And sometimes they refer to a regulating authority like National Treasury, because National Treasury is setting all the guidelines for us. But we make sure it's actually disclosed so that the reader of the financial statements would see there's a disagreement in its process of being followed up. If they don't disagree, discussion of financial statements, I would have qualified. So that's the difference on the specific items. It's a bit different from expenditure. It's a more disclosure note for governance within these notes. I think that will address the specific issue on fruitless and wasteful. Then with regard to the management reports that was asked, we have a big management report. It's our responsibility as a auditor report all key control deficiencies and items to management, so it's a big management report. And in this environment, especially in SASA, because I think it alludes to SASA, we have a massive control environment. We report all our findings and have action plans per province, but they are following it up. But some of these action plans is over a year.
won't actually lose everything in one period. The organization is too massive for that. It's a big organization. So it could be that we identify something in the previous year, they address it, or they start to address by implementing policies that roll out training to the staff, but it will take a little time for them to implement. There is in our management report, we're also reporting how many items are actually addressed or still in progress. I don't have that figures at the moment with me. But we report on that to the accounting authority, and we report to that on the audit committee also, that's overseeing our entities. Then the dormant entities. Service delivery, let me first discuss the service delivery item. My understanding of these funds is they were created in terms of the Fundraising Act. The funding is all fundings that are remaining in that specific entities. It's not through our budget, current budgets, that those funds are in these entities. It could be various activities that generated these funds. So it's not directly linked to the partner's performance information, but there is capital in these funds. And we have raised it with the department. I think it's a few years already that we raised it. But there's more complexity than just our funds. There's another fund also still in this fundraising now. It's the South African National Defence Force Fund that is active. So we can't just from one department withdraw the act through Parliament. We have to change the act because there's a specific act for these entities. In our last feedback from the minister, she is busy with a proposed action that she has received from the DG on these items. And also in the notes of the financial statements of these entities, we have ensured that the department include a going concern paragraph. Like for instance, the Social Relief Fund on page 295, we make sure that they actually make a statement saying they are in progress of following up these existence and the purpose of these funds. So that's on the dormant funds that we could say. The irregular, fruitless and wasteful action plans. Now entities managing it differently within the portfolio depends on your entity if you have more capacity. We will normally have an action plan where we identify the all irregular registered that's available and can be given by the entities. And these registers are then linked to action, specific action, and follow-up. Now, what we normally do if we identify this irregular expenditure, and let's say for instance organization that's all over South Africa, we require that management implement a policy. They must communicate this policy. They must have awareness sessions that you will read in SASOS annual report. They have had these awareness sessions. But it could also be that we as auditor general, remember the expenditure is occurring this year, but the actual supply chain occurred 2-3 years ago. So you could implement these policies, but it could be something out of the historical background that's going through and affecting that specific note, and you're still going to continue to see irregular expenditure. And there could be also consequence management. Where you have now this irregular expenditure policy, but it's not properly monitored and evaluated in your regions by staff and staff in the regions. So there could be various reasons, but they have action plan, they have implemented, and as far as possible they try to evaluate it. We raise these issues with them in the management report, and we highlight our recommendations and proposed actions that they must do. Then with regard to debtors, that's a massive amount, but most of these debtors are old debtors, and the department have action plans to address this. But within the departmental environment, you can't just let in the private sector go and write off the debtors. There's specific procedures that must be followed. For example, in the department environment, you must actually budget to write off the debtors. So there's a bit more complications. And then a lot of these debtors were also part of the re-registration process. You will see 1 year the debtors was, for example, 600 million, and then it jumped to 1 billion. And that's a result of this re-registration process. And they have to follow up these debtors, and it's time-consuming also. Then with regard to internal audit, we have discussed it with SAFA. We raised it with the internal with audit committee of SAFA also, and we have received the feedback that they're busy appointing somebody. That's all I could say at the moment. The feedback is that they're in process offering that specific position. Then the material adjustments of SAFA, that was a question. Now the previous year material adjustments were other line items. They've corrected that line item. So you didn't occur this thing. It was a relief in the previous year, the relief provisions, and it was assets. So this is a total different environment and total different control environment when the specific adjustment occurred. So if we talk about the financial statements, there's different levels and different people responsible for the inflow of the information. But yeah, it occurred today in this specific year, and we made recommendations to that specific items. Then with regard to the IT environment, in some sense it's mainly user account management, that's the issue. And we have raised it with management, and they have implemented the action plan, and they are diligent in following that specific item, that's how that I could report back to you. I think I've discussed the dormant funds. Then the board of NDA. The board is a required board in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. It's actually the body that must give direction and must steer the entity for us and for the minister. So it's a very important tool that must be in place. During this year that we have audited, all the functions as required by the board was fulfilled. So we could say there was a board to a certain extent, and they comply with all the requirements. But going forward, it can be a very critical item, and we have raised it in the management report, so they know of the issue, and they've committed to fill those vacant positions. Yeah, and in the meantime, the minister have also appointed the DG as accounting authority of the NDA as a temporary measure going forward. Honourable
Chair. Okay, thank you very much, but the impact also is the confirmation by your report that for some time the portfolio committee in pursuing this oversight has been concerned about what you're really raising, that when you were sitting with SAFA, they said they were in the process of appointing that senior manager. Then it confirms the notion that they only make changes or implement or comply on your response. Under normal circumstances, they don't do their work properly. But when they are in the process of being audited, it's then that they respond and get the 100%, in which case it shows us a serious weakness, because the duty of your support is not to do the administration for themselves. So if they were not going to be assisted by yourself, it means they could have gone through that wrong route. I just wanted to make that notion, which is a real concern. Honourable Lewis had her hand up.
Thank you, Chair, and I'm hoping that you'll assist me on this question. It's actually out of the SAFA financial report, and you'll note the financial statements on page 108. Under credit risk, you've got the financial assets exposed to credit risk at the end of the year was receivable for 6 million rand as opposed to 3,990,000 the year previously. Explain the situation and seriousness of that, please. Thank you.
Sorry for that, Honourable Member. I think what must be clear on this specific item, we must know that this only relates to SAFA own receivables. That's not the billion rand that we're talking about. the billion lands within the department. Now, the risk for SASSA on this amount, it's a very small amount, and they have a section that's actually monitoring that debtors. That's a SASSA debtor, they actually monitor. So the risk is very limited for the entity. But in terms of the reporting standards, to make it clear to members and to oversight bodies, they must disclose that there could be a possible risk. It's a requirement of the standards. It's not so clear a risk that they're going to lose that amount of money, because it is appropriately disclosed. It's still highlighted to you that there is evidence and there could be a risk if something goes wrong. So it's not to say there's something wrong there. If I put myself directly over to you.
I know with you guys dealing with billions, you know, figures like that look small to you, they look really huge to us. So, you know, you can support and defend your work, that's good. I'm scared to teach you.
These three members have applied in for another 2 points.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to call on njengaza esikhiwe obekekileyo. Umbuzo wam ke ingaba tala banichazele ukuba bazokwenzani na kusasa ukulungisa ezi ngxaki enithe nababaza malunga ne-supply management. Malunga ne-internal audit engenabantu kwasasa yingxaki enkulu kakhulu kuba ndicinga ningenza lula xa kukho abantu kule department ukuavoida iingxaki ezininzi. Ndiyavuya ke ukuva ukuba ubandile kakuhle ukwaminister no-CEO basikhondile abantu bokusebenza kule ndawo. Ndiyabona inkosi kakhulu.
Around two issues. The member appreciates the report, but also has the following questions. Is there a SASSA or affected the department in terms of the supply chain inform you how they are going to address that to bring the required change? What did they say to you? And secondly, she is worried that the area of the internal audit, which is key for a day-to-day risk management, is that it remains vacant. And what are the reasons for that, and what is the potential? Thank you very much. Dr. Abuja Masoji.
Thanks, Honourable Member. With regard to the supply chain, what we get is an action plan. Part of this action plan is they will do investigations on the specific irregular expenditure. That's after we identified it or they have identified it. But these policies and procedures that are implemented, let's say for instance supply chain, they will say if you go out in the bid process, you must ensure that you go and get so many quotations or bids or whatever. That's a requirement. Now some staff at the lower levels don't comply always with these requirements. And the monitoring is not always in place. So the policy is there. Now SASSA commits that they will actually enforce these specific items, keeping the regional executive managers accountable for what's happening in their regions. And it leads back to performance management. If you don't keep the guy accountable for what happened, he will not resolve the specific item. That's the policy, making sure that you comply with the policies on the lowest level. Internal audit, we raised the internal audit. I can't give the real explanations that's raised to me that they're in process of filling the internal audit position. I think the appropriate people to address that item will be SASSA itself. I can't give you the background why the internal head is not appointed. I'm only receiving the response that they're still in progress.
Yes, we want to be record. I just want to make more emphasis on the fact that on yes, we feel record again. We will be a plan to continue the plenty. Which any policies the corner? Who pay and the regional level?
ukho indlela yokuba i-managers zingamonitorish zingayenzi ngokule nto imeba yenziwa i-management ebona ixesha elininzi kukureceiva i-report xa utsho umonakalo. Kodwa le yokuba ipolisi ikhona yinto abayibonileyo uba ipolisi ikhona, kodwa akude bekho into yokuqanisa umntu ongakhange abe ulandela ipolisi ayenze ngokwakhe. Ekugqibeleni ke uthi kuphela unyanzelekile uba akholelwe xa besithi bona bayaqesha ngoku umntu we-internal audit. Uzawushiyeka ke ngoku xa sidibana nabo emva kwemini namhlanje ukuba kunamhlanje okanye kulekungomso apho bazawuhlala pha bona baphendule ezi zinto zirhaziweyo ligqirha lethu uba banezimpundulu zohlobo. Ngoku ke bazawuhlazi uba bayawuqhumisa babheke ngabi xa bekhona buqu. Ndiyabulela. Mama Wilson, when you're having your hand up, I'm about to close. Honorable members, you come for your if I can notice one hand. Honorable Mama Wilson, can you be on the floor?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to go back to the statement you've just made, with that you are comfortable that, or that the indications are, that plans have been put in place to deal with people who are not following procurement procedures. Okay, you discussed that. Now, we often say that senior managers or people on the ground or district managers or what have you. I think we also need to feel very comfortable, sir, that we're senior management, and I'm talking top senior management, that made decisions to overrule bid adjudication recommendations and gone off and make appointments on tailors when with total disregard to those kind of things. Can we as a portfolio committee please feel confident that there are plans in place to take senior management to task, not just junior management? And because this is it's a tricky subject, this one. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I think with regard to irregular expenditure, I must give a bit more background with regard to that framework that exists. That framework indicates that such instances, the incorrect actions are actually done by the CEO. So let's use an example. She can't condone it. It must go to a higher level. And in certain cases, you must involve national government. That's to ensure, that's the process of condoning within our environment, certain expenditure if it happens on that level. Now, there is two reports currently disclosed in the midst of SASA, that is with National Treasury, and the last specific irregular that was added to the financial statements, that also concurred that they will involve National Treasury in evaluating the compliance to the policies because we are in disagreement. Now, we make sure that it's actually disclosed that that's happening. We're also following up with National Treasury that report has been made available to our Honourable Minister and that actions are taken. And we also make sure that we communicate that non-compliance to National Treasury for further, judgment on that specific items. But I can't give you the overall assurance. I think that's the items that we know and that's important with us. That's how I could report back to you and say, well, that's specific items. It is in process, the actions are addressed. I think that's the material items in this specific item. And then we also evaluate condonement in terms of that rules and regulations. So if we identify somebody on a high level are responsible for irregular or fruitless, and they condone it, and it's not in terms of that guideline, we will also report on it because we evaluate that legislation. But sometimes it takes a bit of time to get these condonements through. Okay. And in consequence management, I must just highlight that we've included consequence management in our audit report, so it was an issue for us.
It gives us comfort by the fact that, Honorable Wilson, if there is any irregularity at whatever level, it will appear on the issue of the audit, for auditing process, but it will be taken through to National Treasury if it has occurred at that level. But it will then come back to the portfolio committee through the report of the Auditor General. So I think in that regard, we are in a safe environment to say
even if we don't on our oversight process identify this, it will come up at that level because Treasury also wants accounts for the money they give out. And therefore, they will intervene. But their intervention is not very nice because sometimes they withdraw funding. They say, not unless you respond to ABC, you are not going to be given additional funds on that. So that's another process. But I think the country so far is having mechanisms of both monitoring and evaluation and also oversight and the implementation. But don't forget your teeth as the Honorable Portfolio Committee member to directly ask the implementer, which will be available tomorrow. Thank you very much. Honorable members, can I then proceed to say the meeting is adjourned? And I really thank you very much for your input. It has empowered us. It was an eye-opener. We are very clear on how to manage the areas such as that deal with expenditure in the annual report. Not only what has been achieved, but also the process of getting to that achievement. We are very grateful. You can say that your principals. We are very satisfied with this portfolio committee. Thank you. Can I allow honorable members to stretch their feet now that we have adjourned so that the officials can come in, settle down, prepare their presentation arrangement while you stretch your eyes and your ears, your feet, whatever you spend for the members. Thank you very much. Thank you.